At this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And boy, what a great song, Whosoever Will. No matter who you are, you're here today, the Lord is calling to you. He wants you to come to Him. And I was preparing for this Sunday's message, and the part of Revelation that we're in today falls on the seven trumpets of God's wrath. And I thought, what a fitting message for Mother's Day. Not. All right, so turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. We're going to take a break from Revelation this morning. And look at this passage in Matthew 15. I was speaking to a pastor this week, and I was just talking to him about some of the things that I've been studying. And he gave me this great acronym, and he said he stole it from another pastor somewhere, and so it's not original with anybody, probably. Anyway, I'm going to use that acronym in this message this morning, and as we were talking, we came across this passage in Matthew 15, and I think it fits a good thought for Mother's Day, and it also helps us as we continue on in our studies through the Bible, that there's a good solid framework, foundation that is laid here. So in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread?' And every mom in the building said, 'Shame on them,'" right? I think it was three times yesterday before we ate dinner, my wife had to tell a certain child, "Wash your hands," okay? But I got them wet, but they were still covered in soil because we were pulling weeds. And so finally they realized, oh, I got to get all the dirt off my hands, right? So the verse 3, "But he," Jesus answered, "said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother. And he that curses father or mother, let him die the death.'" That is really harsh, isn't it? I had a lunch with a guy this week, and he was asking me some questions about our faith. And God is just drawing this guy, and I'm just praying that he'll get saved. But while we were talking, I said, you know, the Bible actually teaches that a disobedient child was supposed to be stoned in the Old Testament. And he looked at me and his eyes got big and he goes, "Man, I wish I would have known that 25 years ago." But you know how many children were stoned in the Old Testament? Zero. Because what parent that's having a child be disobedient towards them wants to stone, maybe in the moment wants to, but really wants to stone their child, okay? Here, Jesus says something that's very interesting. He said, "He that curses his father or mother, let him die the death." You know, throughout the Bible, starting in Exodus chapter 20, and then actually started in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Exodus 20, and it goes on throughout the New Testament into Ephesians chapter 6, that it tells us that if you honor your father and your mother, that your days will be long on the earth. And that honoring your parents, God honors that. And there's only one commandment in Scripture that long life is associated to it, and that is honoring father and mother. And so Jesus kind of takes the opposite side of that command, and he says, okay, you don't honor your father and your mother, you curse father and mother, let them die the death. Harsh. So then, in verse 15, "But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, 'It is a gift,' but whatsoever you might be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draws near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" Now, Jesus ends his rebuke of the Pharisees here by talking about doctrines. Doctrines are immutable, universal, permanent truths. Immutable means they don't change. Doctrines don't change. They're universal. They apply at every generation for all time. And they're permanent truths. Doctrines are not the commandments of men. They are the stated expectations of God. So I have two goals in this morning's message. Number one, I want us to understand God's expectations of honor. Okay, when the Bible finished being written, God's expectation of honor did not end. And so we're going to talk about God's expectation of honor. And then secondly, we need to understand where truth comes from. I think it's common sense to say that a child should honor their parent. Because without the parent, the child has no life, right? Without the parent, the child has no care. So it's kind of common sense that a child should respect and honor their parent. But you know what? It's not just a common sense issue here. This is actually one of the things that God took great care in telling the people that they should honor their parents. And what the Pharisees did during Jesus' day is they wanted to find ways around honoring their parents. And so they had this thing called korban. It's a term. It means it's a gift. Now, during those days, they didn't have the same type of retirement systems that we have. Most parents that entered a retirement type age where they could no longer work, if they had not saved up enough money to continue to live, they relied heavily on their children. And you know what? It was okay. But some of the people didn't want mom and dad to be a drain on their finances. So they instituted this thing. And what I did this week is I read through the Talmud. Okay, the Talmud is the oral traditions of the Pharisees that they took and they basically explained away the Old Testament. And so I read everywhere in the Talmud. It's this 144 volume, huge, massive book. And I looked at every place in the Talmud where it talked about korban, the gift. So here's what they would do. They would see that mom and dad were approaching an age and a station in life where they were going to need their child to help them. And the kids were very selfish. And the kids did not want to honor their parents. Instead, the kids wanted to protect their own. And so what the kids would do is they would go to the temple and they would say to the priest, I want to dedicate all of my money and all of my resources to the temple on the day of my death. And so, everything they owned was gifted to the temple. So then they would get a call from mom or dad or from a physician or from someone else that says, hey, your mom and dad need help. And they would say, oh, I'm so sorry. I've gifted all of my money and all of my possessions to the temple. I don't have anything to help mom or dad with. And so mom or dad would not receive the help because it was all promised to the temple. Now there's a little underhanded dealing here, and this is described in the Talmud as by the Pharisees and their doctrines, their teachings, the commandments of men, as a perfectly acceptable way of doing this. When they made that vow to God, because the Bible says, he that vows a vow to God shall not break that vow, right? So they said, it's not a vow. It's just a hope. So when they went to the temple and they said, I'm gifting everything that I own to the temple upon the day of my death, they would throw a little clause in there, and that little clause would be, or until such time, I want it for myself. And they would pay the priest a little bit of money. Just throw it under the table, a little bit of money. Here, a little quick handshake. It's all legal. It's all good. According to the commandments of men, It was acceptable. I do think it's a crying shame that we see generations of people who don't care for their parents, who don't want to provide the help for their parents. It's not a new problem. It was a problem in Jesus' day. Now, here's the rub. The Pharisees are all upset with Jesus' disciples because they didn't wash their hands before they ate. I mean, woo, big sin, right? And Jesus is going, how in the world can you be upset at the disciples who didn't wash their hands, but you are crying, Korban, it's a gift, and you're not even helping your parents? So Jesus gets after them. See, what is honor? What truly makes honor honor? Is it I can say nice things about my parents? Because you know what? Those rabbis that would call Korban and it's a gift, they would speak wonderfully. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I had the money available. I love my parents. I want to see the best for them. But I've given it all to God. Then as soon as their parents would die, they'd go back in and say, okay, I'm rescinding my offer. And they'd pay the priest a little bit more money under the table, and he'd say, yep, contract gone. The money's all yours. You know, honor is not something we just say with our mouth. Honor is a way that we live toward another. Honor is something that we provide through action, through service. Now, I understand there's probably several people here where you're thinking and you're going, my parents raised me. My parents were not honorable. Do you know what? God never said, oh, if you have bad parents, don't honor them. There's a universal command, a universal law that God has given to us to honor our parents. Does that mean we have to sing their praises all the time? No, it's not about lip service. It's about treatment toward them. If they're gone, treatment toward their memory. Honor. Respect. If you don't show respect, then you're not honoring them. Here's why they deserve respect. God gave us one description of himself that touches every single human being that's ever lived. And that description of himself that he gave us is the description of a parent, where he says, I am your father. And if we had trouble understanding God when he said, I am a father, that should have immediately helped us and go, oh, all right, God's a father. Now, there are good fathers and there are bad fathers in this world. There are good mothers and there are bad mothers in this world. But God never once said, honor the good ones, don't honor the bad ones. No, it was just put out there, honor your father and your mother. I'll never forget, I was 17, and my mom asked me to do something. I don't remember what it was, but I remember saying no to her. I thought it was kind of a foolish request. And so my mom, she was tough. She is tough. She said, go to my room. I'm like, really? I'm 17, Mom. She's like, go to my room. So I go to her room. She pulls out the belt. I'm like, Mom, I'm 17. She said, you disobeyed me. Mom, your request was stupid. I did not honor her. She said, bend over. I'm like, what? I'm 17. She whooped me. I laughed. She starts crying. She says, I can't even discipline my son anymore. And it hit me. I had just dishonored her. I didn't do it to anybody else. I love my mom. But I didn't like the request that she had made to me in that moment, and I dishonored her. And you know what? To this day, I look back, I regret that. I regret that. I should have at least cried and pretended like. But you know, in the moments where we dishonor, we show someone, especially mom, what we think about what they've given to us. And the older we get, the more sting there is when we show dishonor to father, to mother. So I want to encourage you today to show honor. Jesus, out of all the things he could have picked out from the bad teachings that the Pharisees had, and they had a lot of really bad teachings, the one that he pulls out and he concentrates on and he says, you are missing it, is an honor. And so today, with it being Mother's Day, I think it's very appropriate that every single one of us considers honor. And you know what? So you haven't shown honor to your mother. Call her. Go to her. Apologize. There's nothing more honorable than for a child who's done wrong, no matter what age the child, to go to the parent and apologize. Now, where does this truth about honoring parents, where does it come from? Well, it comes from God's commands. And so we need to understand where these truths come from. And I'm going to give you an acronym right now. This is what I'm stealing from another pastor. Because Jesus said this. He said, in vain you do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so I don't know what your korban is in your life. What excuse you have not to show honor. But whatever, wherever you get that excuse from, whatever lie you've told yourself that says, I don't have to show honor, okay, you need to dismiss that. You need to get rid of that out of your life. Because God's truth is that we need to show honor. But there are things that lead us astray. There are things that lead us astray biblically. There are things that lead us astray socially. And there are things that lead us astray morally. And so Jesus said this. He said, you teach for doctrine the commandments of men. Doctrine is something that's immutable. It doesn't change. It's something that it lasts forever. And so when man changes God's law, you mess with the integrity of truth. So as Jesus dealt with that, I want you to think about some things here. First of all, in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Grimm's fairy tales are not going to help us here this morning. Mother Goose isn't going to help us here this morning. And men's ideas will do more to steer us from the truth than to help us towards what God wants. In 2 Peter 1:16, it says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. See, we don't follow even really well put together stories, really well thought out man ideas. We have to follow the truth. And in Ephesians 4, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Mother's Day it's a good example for us to see what Jesus was teaching, because Jesus used a powerful illustration, you don't honor your mothers, to show their lack of truth in doctrine. So, I'm going to encourage you, avoid the ships in life. First of all, the S, systems. Systems. This is actually from the dictionary here. Systems are composed of parts. All the parts of a system must be related directly or indirectly, or else there are really two or more distinct systems. A system is encapsulated. That means it has a boundary. The boundary of a system is a decision made by an observer or a group of observers. So here's the system that the Pharisees had. The Pharisees took the word of God. Jesus said, you strain at a gnat. Okay, have you seen the size of a gnat? All right, you choke on a gnat, but you forget the weightier measures of the law. You can swallow a piece of steak and it doesn't bother you, but you put a gnat in your mouth. Because they had created a system of thought that made the scriptures what they needed it to say. I'm going to warn you against systematic theology. I believe systematic theology is a very helpful tool, but it's just a tool. We have lost the ability to follow the Holy Spirit as our guide in Scripture because there are so many systems put in place for us through which we interpret Scripture. In John 16:13, here's what Jesus said. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he will speak, and he will show you things to come. So Jesus, he's warning the disciples against systems of thought, saying, follow the Spirit. Now, sometimes a system is useful to help us understand what the Spirit says. But God's Spirit is our guide in Scripture. Man's systems will always have inconsistencies and problems. God's ways are above man's ways. His thoughts are above man's thoughts. And so I want to encourage you, follow the Spirit in Scripture interpretation. Before you believe the commentator, talk to God. Because as I read the Bible, I believe God does not want us to be confused. I don't believe the Bible is a confusing book. I think God wants us to know what he says. So the S is systems. The H is heart. All right, I'm going to tell you something. You've heard this phrase all your life, and I'm going to tell you the exact opposite. Do not follow your heart. How many of you have heard, follow your heart, right? If you watch anything Disney, that's the phrase. Follow your heart. A little bunny jumping across. Don't follow your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't follow your heart. You know, if I follow my heart, mom and dad don't deserve honor. If I follow my heart, God's word doesn't always make sense. If I follow my heart, I will go down a destructive path and I'm only deceived by myself. The I in ships is institutions. These are denominations, colleges, seminaries, associations. They are not your source of truth. God's word is your source of truth. And so, there will come times that you have to break from your denominational leaning to follow truth. I believe there should be zero denominations in the world today. Zero. Shouldn't there be one? No, there should be zero. There should only be local assemblies that preach and teach God's word, period. We should all submit to Scripture above all. Just submit to it. Quit trying to tell God's word what it needs to say. The reason there are so many denominations and associations, because somebody out there has devised a fable, a really well-written story. And people would rather follow an institution than follow God's word. Because I'll tell you which one's harder. It's a lot harder to follow God's word than to follow an institution. I was speaking to a person one time, and they said, "Oh, it's so hard the way you preach." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. What's so hard?" "Oh, you're kind of ambiguous sometimes because you tell us that we have to follow God's Spirit leading in our life." And I said, "Okay." They said, "Just tell me what I can and can't do." And there are institutions that do that. You know where freedom is? It's way outside of the institution because it's just in the Word of God. And the institution may draw a boundary line within their system, because that's part of a systematic way of thinking. But the Word of God has His Spirit, and the Spirit of God brings life and liberty. The P in ships are persons. Trust the Holy Spirit to be your guide. Commentators are fine to consult, but they're not the authority. Studying the Word of God requires openness to what God says over what man says. In Acts 17:11, the Apostle Paul said, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." All right, when I preach, I hope you compare what I say to scripture. And if what I say does not match scripture, then be a Berean and come and tell me. Don't follow this person, because this person is a person. And then the S in ships, the last S, is sentiments, the way you were brought up, or the traditions that you've always enjoyed, or the feelings that you have. All of those things are subject to God's word. Sentiments are, other than your heart, is probably the worst way to go. Your feelings will never trump truth. There is a ship called the Costa Concordia. It left Genoa, Italy, and on January 13th, 2012, it struck a reef, ran aground at Isola del Giglio in Tuscany, and there were 32 people who died. It's traumatic enough when you're aboard a luxury cruise liner that strikes a reef, loses power, and begins to sink as it drifts, running aground. But how about when you have a cocaine-sniffing captain who delays evacuations and then abandons ship himself, claiming he fell off of the ship into a lifeboat, and never returns to the ship until it is completely sunk? That's what happened to the people on board that ship. And I'll tell you what, when you follow ships in your life, systems, your heart, institutions, persons or sentiments, it will cause you to go shipwreck. But if you follow the truths of Scripture, God will lead you to the right things. This morning, He's leading us to one very specific thought. Honor your father and your mother. And I want to encourage you with all of my being to honor them. And if contacting them would be very difficult for you, I'm going to offer, I'll go with you to one of our phones in one of our offices and sit with you while you make the phone call if you need to. You say, "Well, they wronged me." Okay. Show honor to them. Maybe that's the one thing God will use to bring them back to Himself. You can find a lot of excuses. There are a lot of systems out there. Your heart will tell you this. There are institutions. There are people. There are sentiments that you feel that will tell you you don't have to honor them, and they'll give you every kind of excuse. And I'm just going to challenge you today. Follow God's word in this. Be obedient to Him. Out of all the illustrations Jesus could have brought up, He brought that up as the one thing associated to doctrine. And so this morning, I'm glad we can bring it up. Because when things are good with mom, things are good, aren't they? You know, husbands always say a happy wife is a happy. And if mom ain't happy, then So you know what? Let's honor God this morning. Let's submit to his truth by honoring mom. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. It's quick. It's powerful. Lord, this morning, there are probably some deep hurts that people want to keep buried. But Lord, there is a necessity to follow your word. I pray that this doctrine that you have shown us, this immutable, unchangeable truth, that Lord, we would be willing to submit to it this morning. And if anyone here has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they don't know what it's like to have a spiritual heavenly Father. And so, Lord, they don't know what it's like to have a spirit inside them to teach them these things. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning they would realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. And as we sang about this morning, that you want to bring peace to our hearts and lives. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. And Lord, if anyone here has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, they're carrying their own sin. And I pray this morning that they would trust you, that you would take that sin burden, that weight away from them. And Lord, that they would just enjoy that peace that you bring. And Lord, there are some here that aren't experiencing peace because they don't honor Father, they don't honor Mother. And I pray that this morning they would be restored to that peace by being obedient to your commands. So as we close out this time, Lord, as we cry out to you and say, Lord, I need you, I just pray that you do something special and wonderful in each one of our hearts and lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing the closing song. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be standing at the front. I'd be more than happy to talk to you about trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And know if you need to use our phone, if you tell me, hey, I need someone to help me, let's take care of this. I'm serious about this. This is important. The most important thing you can do on Mother's Day. Get things right with mom. Let's sing Lord, I Need You together.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every
Moms, on your way out, don't forget to pick up one of the bottles, spice bottles with the flowers in it. And it's just a small way to say we appreciate you. And I hope that maybe the greatest thing that's happened for you this week, or maybe this month, or maybe this year, is that you were surrounded this morning and prayed for as a mom. And I hope that means something to you. And, you know, we serve a great God, don't we? A God that says he doesn't need us. But he wants us. But we need him. And he is an ever-present help in time of need. Lord God, thank you for being who you are. We depend on you. We need you. Because we need your truth. And Lord, as we've looked at your word this morning, help us in all areas of life to not follow the ships. They sail by and they would love for us to be tossed on the waves that they're tossed with. Lord, help us to be anchored to the steady rock of Jesus Christ and his word. And Lord, that you would be our guide, our help. And I thank you that in every time of trouble and every time of need, you are there. We ask for your richest blessings to be on this day. To you, our only wise God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.